Welcome to the Firm Report.
Hello there. Welcome to another episode at the Firm Report. Today we have two very special guests. So from the Rubenstein Law Firm here, South Florida's very own. I mean, who doesn't know the name, right? So really great advertiser. We have Ms. Lisa Lopez here, an attorney at the firm, and Ms. Megan Schmidt.
Yeah,
at the firm as well.
Got
and
it.
Where do I begin? Firm is widely recognized, powerful firm, multiple verdicts, lots of wins. But I'd love to learn a little bit about, you know, each and one of you. Just what made you go into law? What was that driver for you all?
Well, you know, I was going to say when you're saying Ruben, we're like 305 baby in the house.
Yeah. 305 to my city.
To be honest with you, I picked it when I was in third grade. We had a project and we had to pick like someone out of like a box to who we were gonna like present on. And I picked Janet Reno. And up until that time, I didn't know what a lawyer, I mean, I had an idea of what a lawyer was and all that kind of stuff, but I had to kind of learn exactly what she was doing. What was the attorney general, da, 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 da. And I became kind of like enamored with the entire profession at that time, or the, I guess, what a 9-year-old thinks a lawyer does. So that's really where it started, and it kind of developed, and I was starting to gear towards, and I think a lot of young attorneys will probably share the same sentiment. You start gearing towards the debate classes, trial team, law studies, and stuff like that. And I kind of had a pretty clear picture of that's probably what I wanted to do. My backup plan was to do color commenting for baseball.
Oh, nice.
And I tried it. I dibble-dabbled in that a little bit. It didn't work out. And then I went back to the path.
Okay. Do you find yourself going to any Marlin games at all?
I do. Season ticket holder. All right. Season ticket holder. I'm taking my kids, you know, having them kind of lock in as well. So hopefully they're just as much a baseball fan as I am.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's we also got the Heat, right? So it's always a great team.
Yeah,
right?
She's an actual Cane, so she could go ahead and talk about the U more than I can.
Yeah. No, I love it. Love it. And you, Ms. Megan, a little bit of
Yeah, so the legal profession has been in my life probably since I was born. Mm-hmm. My mom actually started off as an assistant at Rubenstein Law, so when she was like around 18. And then she had us, me and my two other sisters, and she went to law school when we were about 5'5", 5'4", 3", or like 7'6", 5", somewhere around that time. I don't remember it too much. But she went to law school, and she ended up going back to Rubenstein Law as an attorney and becoming managing partner. So Rubenstein Law and the legal profession has always been a big source of pride and also inspiration for me, because to be able to see what my mom did as a first generation student and lawyer and the only attorney in our family and the only person at the time in our family to really have a degree or a higher degree ended up being super inspiring for me. And I have a profound appreciation for Rubenstein Law in particular, because she's been there basically her whole career. And now it's kind of full circle to be able to be at Rubenstein Law. And it's actually more of it's a family business, right? Because Nicole Armstrong is Robert Rubenstein's daughter. But for me, it almost feels like an extension of, you know, family for me too, because so much of my family is involved in Rubenstein Law. And I feel really appreciative that I was able to grow up in that, around such a good culture and environment.
Wonderful.
Yeah, her mom is my boss.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, she's all of our bosses.
Yeah, all of our bosses.
And she's like an inspiration. We just, I guess we had the Women in Law we did like a big post and appreciation. And I think we can always think back of our two top leaders is Nicole Armstrong, who's our CEO, Robert's daughter, and Nympha Schmidt, her mom, who's a managing partner. So they're just wonderful leaders.
No, I love that. I mean, as a father of four, you know, all girls, girl dad here in the house,
yeah,
you know, it's
dad.
It's beautiful to hear these stories, because, you know, you can just know that you can go out to any firm and rebuild a career and then establish,
Absolutely.
Sharpen your axes, right? So,
yeah.
No, I love it. You know, you all go to battle for us, especially when our life basically goes from, you know, color to black and white,
yep.
right? Whether it's slipping out of Publix or, you know, getting injured in an auto wreck, or, you know, getting hit by a semi, right? Like, these things happen. It's sad, but, you know, at the end of the day, your support that we get, you know, walking us step by step through the process. You know, I've had family that were injured, and, you know, it affects everybody around you, right? So, today we're here at Mass Torts Made Perfect, which is, quite amazing, great topics. Was there anything in particular you're here for? You know, I just wanted to understand if there's anything that really stood out to you.
We handle quite a few of in-house, what we call like in-house Mass Tort. Meg's actually our senior, the most senior attorney in the department. That's kind of, she was like at the forefront of starting the department at our firm as well. So she's, you know, she's probably better versed than me on all of the legwork that it's taken to kind of get into practice of really in-housing mass torts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of things. We just wanted to put our, I think it's very important to put your ear on the ground and see what other people are doing and how they're handling. You know, there's many ways that you could do, you can handle cases. Yeah. Right. So you just want to make sure that you could take on, you know, as many, not take on the, I wouldn't say take on, but kind of, you want to put your ear on the ground and see what other firms are doing to make sure that you're doing everything possible for your clients, that makes sense, to push the cases forward. I don't know if Megan wants to add anything else.
I think that, you know, coming to TMP, a lot of people think about, you know, what the next new device is, or an effective product, or a toxic exposure, or now that there's a bunch of social media addiction and sexual assault cases, you know, you can go in with that focus. But I think a great thing that you can get from MTMP is the sense of mentorship that ends up coming, because, you know, you can find the next product that might be the big litigation, but it's really what you learn from the people who are starting those things and mm-hmm. how they think about, you know, what's going to be big, what injuries are important, 100%. And how they address their clients and handle such mass volume that ends up being really pivotal when you come to MTMP.
Yeah, no, definitely. MTMP has, you know, great relationships here that just continue to like get nurtured, and, you know, you're growing your connections. And you see the same faces, right? Like, that's the beauty of it. So it's like you get to rub shoulders.
And what's crazy is you see the same faces. Like, this is my first time here at MTMP, but I've seen the same kind of group at other conferences. And it's crazy how much knowledge everybody brings every time. So they'll come with a new angle, a new, you know, this is what's going on in the litigation here. Did you hear that this is happening? And it's, you would think that with technology and AI and everything that's out on social media that you would know everything ahead of time, but you still have that human, people still hold on to information. And I think the best way to kind of communicate is in person and giving that information. So I think it's a very powerful tool, these conferences.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about AI in general? Just to, you know, talk a little bit about that.
I love her. Me and AI have a very, very good relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important that people use it responsibly.
Yes.
You know, because any system needs to be checked, right? Mm-hmm. That's the importance of humans and having a lawyer looking over these things. But the ability to ask an AI a question and to review thousands of documents at once when you're trying to do this times 300, times 1,000 clients, it's really been pivotal to not only how quickly and efficiently we can do our work, but also the quality, right? And the ability to provide our clients a service that's, you know, very valuable to them and also going to get them the best recovery.
Our management team and, you know, they've done a great job at introducing really, really great products that are actually in the exhibitor hall. And we have some great things. We could probably be their best advertisers. I mean, we started using AI heavily, I think, probably in the last, like, maybe year or so, really, really deep diving. And one of the things that we're training our staff to kind of, like, understand is it's a tool. It's not replacing the human. But the tool is so valuable because I think our time is the most valuable thing that we have. And time, when it comes to these types of cases, is of the essence always, right? The faster you do something, the faster that you could gather the documents, like Megan said, you know, the faster you can process the information, the faster it gets in front of a human being to verify it, the faster we can get to a resolution. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets lost, you know. I think we're all obviously, you know, aiming for a fast resolution, but the client is really waiting on compensation. And, you know, that's what we do it for, to make sure that the right people get the help they need at the time that they should be getting it, not these long, you know, you have litigation that goes on and on and on and on just because things used to take longer.
Yeah.
And I think AI is going to be a huge tool moving forward to shortening the time of how our cases are run.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with that. Are you using AI personally? Like just, I mean, it's kind of amazing what you can get.
I just started using ChatGPT, okay. And I use it kind of like Google. Like I used to do Google searches. You know, I still haven't put things in for it to fix my way of speaking. So my emails are still Lisa-fied. They haven't been AI'd yet. And I think people will notice as soon as I start, but I think it's great. I mean, I think it's great. Listen, if you don't change, you die. You know, somebody told me that and I was like, oh my God, that's such a harsh thing, but it's so true, you know? You gotta evolve and incorporate it. And like Megan said, yes, you have to use it responsibly with the cliche, right? With great power comes great responsibility. Yes. But, you know, if it's used properly, if it's monitored correctly, you know, it could be very useful. It could redecorate your house.
Yes. Yes. My office is getting a AI-generated picture of my dog, my new puppy. He's an Italian greyhound in Miami Vice lawyer outfit with like a Cuban gold chain because my whole office is Miami Vice themed. So I'm very excited for what that printout's going to look like. I'll show you after.
I'm so excited about that.
Well, hey, you hit on a pretty, you know, great point about like Lisa-fying your emails. Like I still think that's very important, even on the day-to-day communications. Everything's so much faster now with AI. We can send out text messages, emails. It's just everything is so rapid, quick. Right. But I do feel like it's important to train the AI to say, hey, let me be me as well. Like add an emoji, you know, add a little, you know, we have our Miami slang down there, you know, that's,
we're training the AI down there. Hashtag Dale.
Hashtag Yo Quiero Ser Tu Abogado.
Yes.
There we go.
That's colada, the punchline. Right? Yeah, the colada, croqueta. Yeah, one of the things we've been talking about, they need to host this in Miami. They really do. At least once. At least once, they got to take it to Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the hardest thing of hosting it in Miami is the beautiful beaches, right? Yeah. It's like you just get sucked by all the sand, the ocean.
It's tough, man. It's tough. But, you know, I don't know. I've traveled a lot, and I don't know if Megan's gonna have the same opinion, but you leave Miami and you come back and you're like, God, I love Miami.
Yeah. And I need a croqueta.
Yes, and I need a croqueta. Where's my croqueta? Where's my cafecito?
Exactly right. I will tell you that I probably use my Spanish down in Miami a lot more. Like, so I grew up in New York in Hell's Kitchen.
Okay.
So it's always English. You know, it's Irish, Italian. Yeah. You know, I learned a little bit of everything. But when I moved down, man, flipped a switch. Like I was ordering my food in Spanish. And so it's a big part of the community.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So listen, it's so important. We tell our young, if we can mentor staff, if we can mentor young people, listen, the more languages that you could possibly acquire, and if you're going to practice in an area where the predominant, you know, the population speaking a certain, you know, learn the language, learn to communicate. You know, it's so important. We're talking about AI, but 100% in the legal profession, you're never going to replace the connection that a lawyer has with their client. And if you can't, you know, communicate with your client properly, and I don't care if your Spanish is broken because a client appreciates it.
Yep.
They don't care if you have an accent or if it's not perfect, but the fact that you try to communicate with them makes all the difference. So super, super important. I mean, I don't know. It's a special community. It's a special community because the language, the differences in it's all welcome in Miami.
Yeah. And it's so funny because Miami is so predominantly Spanish speaking as well.
Yeah.
That even the standard of like being fluent is different. I joke with my friends all the time. I'm like United States fluent in Spanish.
Yes.
And then Miami proficient. So I bring for my Miami clients, I bring a translator in and they'll help me out. But, it's just so different, you know, and my goal is to ultimately become Miami fluent. You know, that's my next step in life.
Yeah.
I learned something. Miami fluent.
It's different because when I go to the United States, everyone's like, you're so good at Spanish. Like my grandma would not agree with you.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty about the 305, right?
Yes.
It's like we have our own language, we have our own culture, and it's like, you either get it, you know.
Yeah, they get it or you don't. Know, right? But if you don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry. We will teach you.
Yeah.
You're going to learn. Yeah. But I got to teach you.
Yeah.
Are there any specific unique stories that you've encountered throughout your career that, I mean, maybe a specific case that just like hit you deep, you know, on a personal level or just like heartfelt situations? I mean, I'd love to get the emotions out of the attorneys because I know you see this on a daily and it's like, it's hard to separate, but I know you have to. But was there anything that really like tipped the scale to say, wow, we need to get into this because like, I mean, it's just regarding the matter, like it's just, I would love to hear if there was any specific situations that you've come across.
Yeah, for sure. We have a lot of clients because of the length of these cases that they end up getting really frustrated. And, you know, as an attorney, you want to be someone that they feel comfortable speaking to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, the only language they have really is frustration, right? Mm-hmm. Or is anger. And, you know, I remember speaking to a client and they were super, super upset with how long things were taking. We had already done everything we could proactively to help mm-hmm. the case and to help the client. And, you know, they were really, really upset. And I remember after the call, after everyone settled down, you know, one of the clients was like, I'm sorry, I know that, you know, my other family member is a really tough person to buy over. Mm-hmm. And I think as an attorney and what I express to my client is, you know, of course, I would prefer conversations where, you know, we can bring down the frustration and speak as calmly as possible to bring the case forward. But really, I think, you know, attorneys need to see that as a call to action. You know, and when I see my client upset like that and frustrated or even defensive, I always see that as a call to action to move forward, to hear them out, to give them space and to basically make an action plan of things that would relieve their stress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's important for people not to get discouraged or to give up or even to see the client negatively, mm-hmm. you know, and to view it as a challenge to themselves to go the step further on what we can do as legal advocates.
Love it. Love it. Awesome.
To kind of jump off of what, Megan was saying, I mean, you say if there's one client or one case that left an impact, but a lot of times, you know, we get the heat from our client because they're so frustrated. They don't have anywhere else to place it. And there's been times where you get that one after another, and it breaks you down a little bit as an attorney. And I loved how she put it that, you know, that's a call to action to kind of make sure that you understand that the client's not coming from a place of necessarily anger towards you, but anger towards the situation. So it's your job to kind of help them navigate through that. But I also think that when you're able to resolve at the end, there's been a couple of times in my career where when you complete the case and you're able to actually put the compensation in the client's hands and they look at you and they say, thank you. And you're like, oh man, this is what that feeling of somebody just being so grateful for what you've done. It reminds you that even if you're just making a difference in the person's life. And I know it sounds a little cheesy and all that stuff, but mm-hmm. it's what you're like, oh man, that's why I went to law school. Finally, I get, yeah. I'm not getting screamed at right now.
Yeah, I had a client tell me, he's like, I'm going to go buy that red truck, Attorney Megan. And I said, please do immediately.
Yeah. Yep. We took, we got a real good verdict in a really tough case. Mm-hmm. Trial was like ongoing and the client was like so worried, you know, he's like, you know, oh my God, is this going to work out? And I said, look, it's in the jury's hands, and the jury came out and we had a good result. And he looked at us and he was like, I'm going to be able to open my business and employ my, you know, my family now. And it's going to be, you know, this is going to change my life. And it was like, I remember my other colleague and I were like, yeah, this is great. You know, it's those feelings that make you, it validates what you're doing. So, you know, at the end of the day, people are like, oh, you know, lawyers, you only care about money and stuff like that. And obviously it's a business. Obviously it's, you know, it's work, you know, it's, we work to get paid and things like that. But when a client can validate that feeling of, I actually helped them, I made a difference in their life, I'm improving their life. Mm-hmm. That's what really kind of drives you.
All right. Are there any specific like obstacles you have to go through throughout that journey? I mean, I know not all cases are like the same. There's always going to be some nuances, but any specific challenges that you see there, or is it
obstacles? You want to talk about obstacles? The whole profession is an obstacle. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, every day, you know, you encounter, every case is different. Even if it results from the same tort, like we're at a mass tort, right? So even if the clients are injured by the same thing, every single individual client suffers differently. The challenges that you're fighting on multiple fronts. You're like in the trenches, you're flying, you know, you're in the airstrike, you're doing everything at once to kind of push through. So sometimes it feels like you're in a freaking battlefield moving through, and you know, the tank, you got blown up, you're outside of the tanker, now you're running through the field, you know, just trying to get through the case, you know. So there's a lot of challenges, but I guess every time that you could, when you move, we talked about this earlier, remember? Yeah. He said, listen, it's every problem's going to last 5 minutes, and you're going to be able to, sometimes those 5 minutes feel like 100 years, and you feel like, oh, this is over, this is it. And then you're able to get over it. There's so many legal challenges. You got to get all the minds, you know, we round table everything. How can we overcome that motion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are we going to get past that? Yeah. You know, and in the short time that we've been, not short time, but the, we've done that I don't know how many times. We're like, okay, let's, you do this, I do that, mm-hmm. this person would do that. We got a great team. We have an amazing team and great resources. So we're able to pull from everybody, we get together, and then we solve the issue. But there's so many, I don't know, it's so contentious all the time.
Yeah.
And that's hard. One obstacle that I see too is, you know, we're talking about Spanish, but the law itself is also a language, mm-hmm. you know, and a language that people struggle to understand. And while AI helps us, it doesn't always help our client, mm-hmm. you know, so sometimes we're fighting our defendants and also ChatGPT and whatever they end up generating
yep.
for the client if the client gets nervous.
Oh, so, yeah, because now we have we have the chat lawyer. So people will come at us with like, oh, you know, I know the value of this, and, you know, and it's so hard because you're like, okay, but remember, that's AI. It's not a lawyer.
Right. Yeah. I always tell that to anyone that I come across that's looking like just legal matters on AI. I'm like, it's not going to take away the lawyering. Like, there's no way. But
and in an open universe AI, mm-hmm. it accepts all things as true or as equally credible, mm-hmm. and it really will send anything back to you, you know, because there are hallucinations that mm-hmm. AI will produce. And
yep.
sometimes part of my job is taking the AI response that the client gets and just sifting through and trying to show them citations that I have and mm-hmm. translating as much as I can so that they feel comfortable by the end of the call.
Yeah, I will say it's perfect for planning your itinerary, you know, just like travel and whatnot. But yeah. It's amazing.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is, I want to wrap a few things up here, but just there's anything you'd like to say, you know, to the audience, you know, that's listening, you know, like what drives, you know, Rubenstein Law Results? We'd like to hear both of your thoughts there. Is it, you know, you mentioned team culture, like what is the coffee, the colada, you know, what's the essence, yeah, right? Like
the essence, right?
What's the sugar in the coffee?
The sugar in the coffee, yeah.
I'll tell you, the staff, mm-hmm. I think of it as a body, right? We mm-hmm. have the legs, we have the arms, we have, you know, the heart, the brains, and we need every piece mm-hmm. to make it function. And we have, I mean, we're very lucky that we have all the parts of the body are working succinctly, not all the time, like everything, we're not perfect, but what drives it and what drives the results is that we have an excellent management team, and that pours down into the excellent lawyers, hardworking young lawyers, and the staff is wonderful, and I think we have a great culture.
I agree with that too. I mean, I'm only 3 years into my legal practice, 3 going on 4. And I think at Rubenstein Law, I've found that it's a unique experience where, you know, I can come to Lisa with a mistake, a problem, a question. And not only does she breathe like a lot of confidence into me and into me as an advocate, but she's also someone that really champions, you know, taking care of her associates. And I think that's like a really unique experience that, you know, I talk to my colleagues from everywhere, and everywhere is different, but you know, the amount of support that I receive, the amount of care and kindness, and it's pretty incredible to have, you know, basically 3 bosses up that are all women. It's very inspiring too. I feel like it's a place that I can grow and I can develop. And Robert Rubenstein is also the funniest person and smartest person to ever exist. If you have ever met him, know that he's a legend. He's a Miami legend.
Robert, we're not just saying that, okay? We're not just saying that. It's the truth, sir.
It's like, what? You met a Cofulano. I remember that one. That was my favorite one when I moved down. But, well, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
We had a great time.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
The Firm Report, brought to you by Exults, a full-service digital marketing agency helping law firms reach new heights.